Now, schools in Wisconsin are closed until at least April 24th under Governor Evers' Safer at Home order, but facilities can still be used for virtual or distance learning activities. The order has resulted in big changes for students, teachers, and parents. Many students are now learning through a computer or tablet and away from their classmates. Teachers are revising their lesson plans to better suit the virtual environment, and parents are getting more involved with guiding their kids through schoolwork while they work, in many cases, remotely themselves. Further complicating things, not everybody has high-speed internet access, and there are concerns that some students, in particular those with special needs, may be falling behind. Heather Hill is a professor of education at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. She focuses on teacher quality, teacher professional training, and instructional improvement. She's been writing about the coronavirus situation for Education Week. Heather, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, I know schools all over the country are scrambling to deal with this situation. Can you talk about the range of approaches we're seeing around the country?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of different approaches, that's for sure. So I think the districts to date have been really concerned with getting kids online. So as you noted, about a quarter of kids don't have broadband access at home. And so the district's first order problem has been getting kids access to the internet so they can do whatever flavor of online learning is going to happen. But once that is that hurdle or that decision gets made, then districts are left with a lot of different options for how to roll this out. So they can do full-on online classes where kids get together with their teacher once a day and have synchronous kinds of conversations. Districts can post online assessments or online assignments where kids can be working at home under the supervision of their parents. And districts can also direct parents and kids to online learning environments like Khan Academy. So lots of decisions facing districts right now.
And I imagine we're in a pretty uncharted territory of how to do this right. I assume there's some research, and we'll get into it, but in a lot of ways, we're making up as we go. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And the thing about districts is that school districts are really designed to do face-to-face learning and do it really well. So these aren't startup organizations that can turn on a dime. These are organizations that have been around for 100 years with the goal of getting kids into schools doing face-to-face instruction. So this is really unprecedented for districts to have to face.
I want to talk some about the role of the parent who, or guardian or grandparent, whoever may find themselves in this role of assistant teacher or tutor. You recently co-wrote a piece about this on possible ways that districts could help those parents and guardians fill that role. What do we know? What kind of things could help them out?
Right. So the first thing to know about this is that parents aren't going to replace teachers. All of the research says that kids learn best with teachers in schools. But that said, the research does point out some ways in which districts can help structure parents' time in such a way that they make the most of this time with their kids at home. So one of the big takeaways from this literature is that more structure for parents is better. So providing not only activities for kids, but some guidance for parents as to how to go about helping their kids do that activity is really important. Another piece of guidance is to make everything as simple as possible. So parents don't have a lot of time right now to be looking through a lot of instructions or, you know, hooking their kids up with crazy, brilliant science lessons. Simpler is better in this particular case. So for instance, there is a math program that is oriented around just having a kid do a math problem at bedtime. That's the level of simple at which we're talking at this point for a lot of parents and kids.
And volunteer tutors for schools, and it can make a difference. Just a little bit of training or a little bit of structure can make a big difference in the impact they have. Can we learn from that for our at-home parental tutoring?
Yeah, for sure. So that level of structure. So for instance, I'll give an example from a reading program. You know, if you're doing reading comprehension with kids and kids are reading a book, giving parents a simple set of questions that they can ask after any book that are comprehension questions that are easy to ask, that are going to get kids engaged with thinking not only about what happened in the book, but why or what motivates this character. That level of a very simple set of questions that can be pulled out over and over as kids are reading books is really the sweet spot for helping parents do the work of working with their kids at home.
Talking to Heather Hill, professor of education at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, looking at what's going on with kids learning at home now, what districts are doing, how parents can help, and how we can make the most of this unusual time in American education. Heather, do you have thoughts on the best approach now for schools to take, and I imagine it might vary by age group, to make sure that that they are reaching kids and that kids are getting at least some kind of learning experience at home?
So I think the evidence would suggest, or the common sense would suggest, that more contact is better at this point. And the more touches that parents and teachers can have, especially with teachers saying, you know, here's some ways to work with the students, here's what we were working on, or here's what I'm planning on working on in terms of this assignment, here's a simple way that you can help, those touch points go far. Another component of this, though, is worrying about equity. So one of the things that we know is that parents who are better educated, who have higher incomes, and in this particular situation, also parents who have more flexible jobs and are also in the home more, are going to be advantaged over families who don't have those resources available to them. So districts saying, let's try to focus our efforts, let's get teachers more involved in the families that are needing more help, would also be a benefit at the time, at this time.
What are your thoughts on workload for kids? I've heard rumors that there are some places the approach is, hey, these kids have all the time on their hands, let's give them lots of stuff. Others saying, hey, let's not overwhelm people in this unusual situation where they're learning the technology, possibly. Where do you fall on that?
So this is a lose-lose situation for anyone who tries to make any kind of recommendation, but I'll give it a shot. You know, you have people saying, like, kids are so stressed, families are so stressed, leave them alone. And then you have people saying, but kids need structure and kids want to learn and families want their kids to learn. I think that the right answer to this is sensitive to the kid's age, actually. So there's decent amount of evidence that adolescents can do pretty well in online learning formats and sustain that for at least a few hours a day. I would not say that for kindergartners. I think kindergartners can't be in a, quote, online classroom for more than 30 minutes, nor would I think a kindergarten teacher want to necessarily control her classroom online for more than 30 minutes. And so districts really need to be really sensitive to the developmental needs of kids.
I want to talk about kids with particular educational needs. Here in Wisconsin, we have, I don't know if this is a national thing, what's called individualized educational plans. I know there's something like that everywhere. How can districts make sure that they don't get lost in the shuffle?
Yeah, this is a big one. And actually, we are working with a colleague on a column for EdWeek next week about this. The federal government has come out with guidance saying that the states can flex those plans right now, that usually these are very legally determined. Kids need a certain level of service. And the federal government has said, you know, you can flex this so that you're able to provide services to all kids. And not so much worry about these requirements right now. Many states, actually, to their credit, are trying to take up the challenge of supplying best case services to kids with special needs. And they're doing things like having IEP meetings over the phone, helping parents, giving special attention to parents to help train parents in how to provide the learning environment that their kids need. For instance, oftentimes kids with special needs need much more structured learning environments and need some of the stuff that's online. For instance, very conceptual instruction is not going to work out for kids with special needs. So really getting them funneled toward the resources, getting those families funneled toward the resources that can help those kids in particular.
We're talking about distance schooling amid the coronavirus pandemic. Heather Hill is with us, professor of education at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, a student, or a teacher, how is it going for you and the kids you work with? If you're a parent, how are you juggling the role of parent and maybe a little bit of tutor assistant? Advice you could share on how to make it work. If you're a teacher, how has the transition gone so far from the smiling faces, hopefully right there in front of you, versus they're out there, hopefully on a screen? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Share your distance learning experiences as schools are shut down. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about how COVID-19 is affecting schooling. The pandemic has caused schools to shut down, so kids are trying to learn online. Parents are helping as much as they can. Schools are figuring out how best to educate kids when they're not in the building. Heather Hill is our guest. She's a professor of education at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Let us know how it's going at your home at 800-642-1233. What kind of work is being assigned to your kid or kids of whatever age? Is it going pretty smoothly so far? If you're a parent, are you helping or trying to help? What would help you to help? And if you're on the teaching end of things, definitely love to hear from you. How is it going? What kind of training, if any, did you get in the making the switch to going online? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Heather Hill, let me ask you about something I just brought up there, the idea of teachers being trained to make this switch. I know there wasn't a lot of time to do this. Do you have thoughts on how teachers can get help to make sure this works as well as it possibly can?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Obviously, there were not professional development programs for teachers teaching kids online prior to this. That said, there are in places and pockets in universities, for instance, University of Wisconsin-Madison, I'm sure has some guidance about how faculty members can teach online, which I think would be highly applicable to public school teachers as well. And a lot of districts also have in-house personnel who are instructional coaches, who are there, mentor teachers, things like that. They're there basically to help support teachers in any form of instruction that is going on. And I would think that that would be a great resource. Colleagues are great resources. But the bottom line is people are going to have to make this up as they go along and figure out how to do it and do it well.
So you as an education researcher and your colleagues, are you trying to watch this in real time and as best we can measure it, at least in the short run?
I think people are thinking about how to do those studies, but I think right now people are all, especially in higher education, are still scrambling to put our own courses online, and do everything else that folks are trying to do. So it's a great idea for a study, though. I think someone will do it.
Yeah. How is this working at the university level? I know you mostly, I think, focus on K-12, but what are we seeing there with people meeting this challenge right now?
Yeah, so our university has done a great job of helping faculty go online. And, there's different barriers to faculty going online for everything from people really not knowing how to operate Zoom or Skype or any of those other meeting platforms, which is a pretty big one. If you're not comfortable with the technology, it's going to be much harder to teach, to faculty members who want to retain aspects of their course, which are harder to do online. So, for instance, I'm going to use my husband as an example. He teaches a discussion-based, he actually teaches middle school. He teaches a discussion-based math class. And so he's really had to think how to replicate that in an online setting where kids are all sitting in their bedrooms, but yet he still wants to have kids talking back and forth about math ideas or working on math problems together. So people are handling it fairly well, but I think we're just on this learning curve and it's very, very steep right now. I think in a few weeks or hopefully by the fall, things should be worked out and online instruction should be a lot better.
And how can the parents make this work smoothly, bringing them back into the story now? Used to be you ask your kids, do you have homework? And, some schools have an online campus where you can check and see what your kids' schoolwork is now. Are there ways for parents to keep tab to make sure their kid is doing their virtual homework and discussion and whatnot?
Yeah, parents need to be in there with them in the Google Classroom or whatever online portal the schools are using to push out materials. Parents need to be much more attentive to the emails that are coming through from the school saying, okay, there's going to be an online session at this time where there's a face-to-face component. It's asking a lot more of parents, especially parents who are now used to their kids being pretty self-sufficient. So that would be, late elementary through high school students. There's quite a bit more supervision, in particular for kids who may be less engaged in school and are, have a harder time sticking with it and, staying on top of things. This is a real challenge to those kids in particular, and parents need to really be in it with them.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Brian is with us in La Crosse. Brian, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. It's challenging, especially being a parent, because for those of us that are, you know, my wife and I are still considered essential, and thank God we got, you know, still have employment, but that just minimizes the amount of time that we're able to be home in order to help our kids. And fortunately, they're a little bit older. But even when you want to check and make sure that the kids' homework is getting turned in and on, you go on to the electronic or grade books, and only the stuff that gets recorded is what you know has been turned in. And you don't necessarily know if your kids turn stuff in. And the parents that have younger kids and are getting sent home packet after packet after packet, and they too are working, it's really challenging for them to find the time in order to be able to help their kids accomplish those tasks and get them in. And then internet access. If you do have patient or parents that are working from home and there's one computer, if you have multiple kids that are at home and they all need to somehow get access to the internet, then as my brother, who's a teacher, was told by his principal, the amount of workload down to a quarter, because there's a lot of factors that are going on inside the household that the world of education needs to be accepting of.
Brian, thank you so much for sharing your experience and your thoughts on that. Heather, what do you think of what Brian brought up there?
Yeah, I think Brian's right on, and I think he's not unusual right now among parents, where parents are essential or they're non-essential, but their jobs have not stopped because they can do their jobs remotely, and they're really struggling how to figure out how to keep their kids engaged in school, potentially off devices, playing games or whatnot, and feel like they can keep up. One thing that is helpful to me is just knowing that everyone is in the same boat at this point. So this is not an era when lots of kids are going to be learning tons and tons of stuff. But any learning right now is a bonus, I think. Hopefully your school district is flexible enough that none of this is required and kids are not being penalized for not making the transition or, you know, missing assignments or things like that. And the school district is also able to give some help. Reaching out to the teacher and talking with the teacher a little bit and trying to stay in communication with the teachers may help as well.
Thanks again for the call, Brian, at 800-642-1234. Heather Hill is with us from the Harvard Graduate School of Education, looking at schooling when kids can't go to school, how it's working, making those online connections, how parents can help out. Heather, eventually, hopefully, kids are going to go back to school. It may not be this school year. A lot of states have shut that down for now. How can students, kids, districts start to prepare for when they come back to school after this weird and difficult time?
Right. That's a great question. I think districts are going to, right now, I think districts are just totally swamped with making sure kids are getting assignments and everything is going as best it can. But within a month or two, districts are going to have to start to figure out what happens to that ninth grader who has missed a whole quarter of algebra. And what does that mean when they get to algebra two as a junior or as they continue on in physics, which requires a lot of algebra? So districts are really going to have to start to get groups of teachers who know the content really well and know the curriculum really well together to say, so what does that algebra two teacher do differently? Or what does the physics teacher do differently with the material that was missed in this particular spring? I'm a little less worried about topics like English language arts because some of that just loops back. The same content comes up over and over as grades progress or kids progress upwards in grades. And so that's a little bit more recoverable to me. It's more the material that becomes important for kids to know in later grades that I'm worried about.
I've heard at least some school districts are saying your grades can't get worse during this time. You're not going to be penalized. You can only help your grades. What do you think of that approach, taking some of the heat off?
I love that approach. You know, I think it's really hard to say to kids, especially kids in high school who are facing college application processes, that what's going on, like, you know, the learning that they're doing right now over the internet, which is imperfect. It's like version 1.0 of how you would do online learning at scale would matter for their college application or anything consequential. So I love that approach.
Time for one more quick call. Tammy is with us in Appleton. Tammy, hi.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us, Tammy?
Basically, I'd like to say that even though the kids aren't putting their nose in the books, there's a lot of life skills that are being taught inside the home. For example, cooking, cleaning, curtaining. stretch, you know, like you have four pieces of chicken and how can we make five meals from that?
Tammy, thank you so much. We're just about out of time, but Heather, approaching different ways of learning at home, not just the school stuff, but looking for other learning opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea as well. So if, especially if kids are interested in things like, you know, if you're out taking a walk around the neighborhood, learn about birds or learn about flowers. It's spring, you know, that kind of thing that is driven by what parents know and what parents feel comfortable teaching and the situations that they can engineer for kids that just improves everything overall for both families and kids learning.
Tammy, thanks for that call. And Heather, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Rob. It was nice talking to you.
Heather Hill is a professor of education at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. We talked to her today about challenges and opportunities facing students, teachers, and parents as schools remain closed due to the coronavirus, with kids learning now online.